on, everybody, and welcome back to the Student Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Clarick, joined by
Aaron Holt.
Let's go. Aaron.
What's up? Glad to be back. Yeah, good to see you again.
It is actually great
to be back. It's been a little too long.
Way too long.
Yeah.
And so we felt like, you know, after our hiatus,
right,
we needed to swing.
We took a little sabbatical. We had to come back with a really strong guest.
Swing for the fences.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, dingers only.
Yep.
Can you see me pointing right now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pointing for the fences because we got Kerry Brooks here today. Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for Kerry Brooks.
Woo! That crowd goes wild. Okay.
Welcome to the Student Leadership Podcast. And Carrie.
If you don't know Carrie,
Hi.
Carrie is a youth pastor at Connection Church.
Yeah, I was going to let her tell that.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump ahead.
Oh, well, good. We're just excited. Carrie, welcome to the Student Leadership Podcast. We're so glad to have you. How are you feeling this morning?
Well, I have way less energy than you do, Jordan. But I think that's true for every guest that comes on here. So, no, I'm good. I'm pumped. I'm excited to be part of this. I've been listening to it, and our student leaders listen to it. So, I'm excited to be part of it.
Jordan doesn't have energy. He has lots of caffeine, though.
Yeah, right part. Lots that of caffeine. Part.
Yes. Yeah. Well, listen.
Hey, I want to say something about Carrie, just for all the listeners that they might not know, is that Carrie has been a part of Lead the Generation Ministry from its very, very beginning, first conference ever in spring of 2016. And she's like Lead the Gen OG.
Legacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
The legacy tier.
She's at the legacy tier.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Which gets her a bunch of free merch. And
well, it's like the multi-level marketing stuff. She's right there at the top of the pyramid.
Almost there. Carrie, real quick, just so people can know a little bit more about you. Tell us a little bit. I know you mentioned you're a youth pastor. You want to just give us just a quick little how you got into this job. You also mentioned you're doing some stuff for young adults. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, anything that'd be good to know.
Yeah. So I am in my start of my 17th year in youth ministry, which is crazy. Nice. I sound really young, but I guess I'm really old. And I've gotten to youth pastor a couple of different places. Felt like God called me when I was in high school, kind of ran away a little bit because I didn't know any other women that were doing it, honestly. And I was just kind of like, I don't know if this is a job for me, but God is awesome. And he kept pursuing me and finally pursued him and jumped into it. And so, been going strong for the last 16 years.
Dang.
And currently at Connection Church, I've been here for a bunch of years now, get to do youth.
Bunch.
A bunch, yeah. Youth. And I also serve with our young adults. We just started a young adults ministry. So I'm actually just learning and growing with
And
it's exciting.
Fun fact.
And hard.
Yeah. Fun fact. Carrie's husband, Isaac, is a professional cello player.
Oh, no shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So incredible. I was just about to say I've been married to Isaac for 6 years now, and it'll be 6 years in a couple weeks. And he's a professional cellist, and he does not play cello for me at home. Everyone asks, and I'm a little bitter about it, but it's okay. We're working through
Habits.
It.
So. Habits. Carrie, real quick, you've been a youth pastor for a minute now. It's going on your 17th year. You've seen some things.
You've gone
to some crazy youth camps. I would love to know, can you cook for a second and tell us one of the wildest youth pastor stories you have? Do you have any crazy? I mean, I just feel like youth ministry in general is we rip it and dip it and what happens. Give me one of your wildest or craziest or weirdest or most out of pocket youth pastor stories you've experienced in 16 years of youth ministry.
All right. So in my first couple years, I got invited to go to a school play, which love going and watching my students do things. But this was a homeschool play.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, OK. You should just prepare yourself, Jordan. The family was part of a pretty large co-op in the area. So I thought, you know what? That's cool. Like they played sports together. Like they had legitimate team things they did. So I was like, the parents were like, meet us at our house. We'll go to the play. So I was like, great. So I show up at their door and they're like, all right, it's like $5 to get in. And I'm like, okay. And they're like waiting for me to pay them. And it was at that moment I realized like, oh, this is just at their house. Like this this is not, we're not going anywhere. I've arrived. And so, so I paid them admission and then they led me to their living room, where they had set up a couch that was about 3 feet, a stage that was about 3 feet from the couch. Like it was this tiny living room.
No.
And here we are. And they have four kids, three of which are in the youth ministry, one of which is just not yet. And he's very upset about that. So he is like getting to be part of the play whenever he can just jump in. And they have, this is a self-composed play that they have written. So it was about like a little under 4 hours long. There was an intermission.
How many people were in the audience?
Me, I was the only one. I was the only one invited, and the mom was sitting next to me, like feeding me compliments to say, like,
she's giving
you
the play by play.
Do you, what do you think? Didn't they do a good job on those lines they wrote? And like, what am I supposed to say? I'm the only one there. And then there was like audience participation moments.
Was there an intermission? Was there an intermission?
Yeah. So there was an intermission where I could wait in line, the line of one, I guess, for the bathroom. But there was a snack. There was a snack bar, and I had to pay $2.50 for some home popcorn. Dude, like microwave popcorn.
This is not real. What is this?
It actually
feels like an episode of The Office. I feel like I can imagine this.
Yeah,
true.
That easily could be.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's so many other things we should talk about, but I just have one. Give me the plot. What was happening?
I don't remember. The popcorn was so good.
The popcorn was amazing.
Yeah. Orville Redenbacher outdid himself, and I was just beside myself. But no, I feel like maybe they had a really hard time deciding who was actually going to write this play. So I don't remember a plot. I do remember it was like princesses meet like battling a monster meets something biblical. Like it was just
like a homeschool version of Lord of the Rings.
And listen, like if you're a homeschool student listening, because I have a lot of homeschoolers in my youth ministry now who are part of our team.
We have some in the studio.
Yeah. In the studio right now.
Be creative, and that's amazing. But listen, if you're gonna run a play in your home, like invite more than one person.
Maybe invite even like three. You know, that would be crazy.
And give away free popcorn.
Praise God.
Generosity.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Like, I don't even know where that was, like the money was going to. It's just
to fund the next performance. Yeah. Bigger stage. Carrie, I'm sorry that was actually so long, but that was so incredible. But the reason we brought you on here was actually not.
Take a deep breath, Jordan. Take a deep breath.
That was incredible. I have to reroute. Okay. Carrie, the real reason we brought you on is because we want to equip and empower student leaders. So I'm assuming you've thought through, give us a leadership principle for student leaders and something that you want to give and invest in anyone listening, whether it be in college or middle school or high school. What do we got?
Yeah. All right. So I think probably one of the most important things any student leader should know is that good leaders actually find their identity in Jesus.
Mm. Write that down. So that's great.
Point us to somewhere in scripture that you kind of naturally go with your student leaders when you're having that conversation.
Yeah. So I love like pointing everybody back to Ephesians 2 and like verses 1-10, which I know is kind of like, that's a lot of verses, but it says like, once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins, like that's who you used to be. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world. Like it goes on to say, like you followed your sinful nature, all those things. And then in verse 4, it says, but God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead in our sins, he gave us life through Christ. Mm. And it goes on to say like all the things that we get when our identity is like we are found in Jesus, like we get to be raised and seated with Christ. We have like this unity with God. And then it even says like God points to all future generations, like points them back to who we are. Like there's an example of leadership because he's saying like when your identity is in Christ, like other people can point to you and say, look what Jesus has done. And then at the end, it's in verse 10, it says, for we are God's masterpiece, or some versions say handiwork.
Yes.
And he's created us new in Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And so we say like leaders find their identity in Jesus. Like it's really easy as a leader to find your identity in being a leader. Right. Like all the things you do, the job or the tasks that you have, the things that you are kind of like assigned to do in your youth ministry. And it can be really easy to just take on that identity. Like I am a leader and you are, but your identity isn't leader. Leadership is something you do. right? But your identity is follower of Jesus, son or daughter of Jesus. And when you find it that way, you get a plan and a purpose that's so much bigger than just believer. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay, Gary, I have a question. What you're saying is true, technically. Well, obviously, it's very true. But I do think it becomes very hard to distinguish what I do is different than who I am. I think for a lot of people, like when you ask them, who are you? Basically, what you're asking is, what do you do? You know, like what extracurriculars are you involved in? What are your hobbies? Like the attachment to the things and activities you do to that being who I am feels so strong. Why do you think you're not just what you do? Some people might even argue that you are, like you're the sum of your actions. So how do you get to that point where you can say, no, I'm not just the things that I do? And then also, like, how do you then go and build an identity on Jesus? I guess those are two questions. So we'll start with, like, why do you see what you do being different than your identity?
Yeah, that's so good. And do you know what? It's so hard. I feel like for so many years, even you asked me, like, oh, introduce yourself. And I was like, I'm a youth pastor. Yeah, like, it's really easy to do that, right? But the truth is, like, one day I won't be a youth pastor anymore, right? Either, you know, I'll retire or I'll die, and there aren't going to be a whole lot of youth pastors in heaven. And so, like, for all of us, like, are right, like, hopefully. And so, like, so, I mean, there will be, but not the same way, right? So, like, I feel like, you know, when we're talking about, you know, who are we? Like, the truth is, you know, whatever sports you're playing, one day you won't be playing those sports, right? Like, whatever classes you're taking, one day you won't do that. Whatever job you have, one day you won't be in that. And so the one thing that is consistent in your identity is who you follow, like, and who has shaped your life for something more. And so, like, I think it's hard to separate the two things. Like, I don't do that perfectly even now, but I think we have to take time to kind of ask ourselves, like, well, wait a second, like, is what I'm defining myself by something that's going to last forever?
Wow.
And if it's not, then that's not really who you are.
I love it. I was, as you're talking about identity, Cary, I was thinking of, just recently, it was actually just last week, I was having coffee with a new friend in my life, and he was doing some mentoring and coaching with me, and he made a comment, and it was about leadership, about ministry, about, you know, preaching. It could be, you know, kind of any of that, but he just made this comment. He said, we always have to lead from identity, not for identity.
Yeah.
Right. And that just kind of hit me what you're saying reminds me of, like, yeah, this is important. This is a foundational root issue. Do you have any examples of students, whether now in your current youth ministry or in the past, that you feel like, yeah, here's an example of a student who got it. They're doing it well. They're leading from identity, not for identity.
Yeah. I have a girl in my current youth ministry, named Olivia, and she just loves Jesus. And I watch her. She's at a school where, you know, which I think most schools, right? Like, there's just a ton of drama, but she's in a private Christian school, and there's a ton of drama. And it's like everyone's in everyone's business.
We know.
Shocking.
Yeah, we know.
And, like, it's interesting to watch her, because when everybody wants the gossip, when everybody wants to kind of be up in everybody else's business, when everybody's making decisions on what's going to meet the public eye and what's going to, like, put them in a good light with their friends, I watch Olivia just kind of completely, like, shift away from that. And even recently she went through something, and I was kind of like, hey, when this news gets out of the choice you made, it was a positive choice. But I said, when this news gets out, I said, how are you going to feel about everyone's opinion about it? And she said, well, I don't really care. And I said, well, you don't?
Goated.
And she was like, yeah. She was like, honestly, I don't. She's like, they can say what they want. They don't have the full story. I know what God asked me to do, and I'm just going to obey him.
That's good.
Wow. And I thought, man, that's so good. And it, like, we were talking about, like, I was like, you're really living out, like, Galatians 1:10. That's like, you know, am I trying to please man, or am I trying to please God, right? Yeah. Like, if pleasing people is my goal, I'm not really pleasing Christ. And she's her whole life is, like, laser focused. Like, Jesus is the center of her attention. And not to say she doesn't make mistakes, but, like, she loves God and she wants to obey him. And it's awesome to see her not care. And it allows her to step into purpose. like just so easily. So.
Wait. What's this girl's name?
Olivia.
Olivia's a dog.
Shout out to Olivia if you're listening.
She's awesome. One clap in the she's stew awesome. For our girl, Olivia. Yeah, big fan. How old's Olivia?
She is 16.
No way, bro. Olivia's really eating right now. Okay, hold on, Carrie. Look, I want to be Olivia. Olivia is gold. Olivia, if you're listening right now, you're the homie, okay? But I think there's... Okay, ready? I feel like there's a middle ground where a lot of us find ourselves, where we know our identity probably isn't in Jesus, and we want it to be. Like, we're recognizing the sports, the popularity. Like, it doesn't fill us up, right? Okay, so we're a Christian. We're a student leader. We know that, like, our identity should be in Jesus, but we're not quite there. We're not quite at the Galatians 1:10. I don't give a rip. Who am I trying to please, man or God? We want to be there. We're not. Our identity, unfortunately, is found in some other less than desirable things. What practical pieces of advice would you give someone that they could maybe even try this afternoon? That it's not going to be a cure-all. Just say this one prayer or read this one book. But do you have any steps that students can take, whether they seem basic or, you know, they worked for you, to get us, let's say, all right, we want our identity to be in Jesus, but it's not there yet. Not fully, at least. What do we do?
Yeah. Okay. Well, so first I'm going to say, like, man, if you're there, like, welcome to the club. Like, all of us are there, right? Facts. So don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up and know that, like, this is a lifelong process. Like, this sanctification and learning to follow Jesus, like, it takes a long time. So this is not like, you know, like Jordan said, it's not do it once, right? But so I'm gonna give you three quick steps, right? So first one is pray. And so pray literally just every day, ask the Lord, hey, God, where is my life right now more about my own glory or other people's approval than it is about your glory and your approval?
Oh, that's right? A bar.
That's a great prayer.
And it's like, man, like when you realize, like, you can live for his plan, his purpose, his attention, his affection. Like the thing is, like, when you're living for what everyone else expects you to do, like, then you always have to do more. You always have to be more. But when you're living for what Jesus has done, it gives you freedom to just do what he's wanting you to do. So every day it's just pray. Hey, God, where do I need to live for your glory today? And then second, obey. They rhyme. The third one doesn't rhyme. It's okay. But whatever he's asking you to do, right? Like, so pray and ask, but then when he asks you or when he tells you, like, cause the truth is, like, God wants to answer that kind of prayer.
Yeah.
So he's going to answer. And so now you get the step of, all right, I'm going to do it. Even if it feels weird, even if it's not what I would have normally done, like, I'm going to live with radical obedience. And then the third one is imagine. And so imagine what it would be like if your confidence was found in God has said, you're my handiwork, that I'm going to do good things. And imagine if you changed the way that like your culture was living on, right? Cause we're a culture that lives for the follow, lives for the like, lives for the, you know, whatever. We all want to be Insta famous. Like, and so what if your life was about more? Imagine if your life was about more. Imagine if like you lived focused on a purpose so much greater, and it caused your friends to be like, well, wait a second, like what's happening here? Like you get an influence when you imagine something greater, when you pray, obey, imagine, like you get an influence to lead your friends, because you're actually not like, you can't lead people well if you need them too deeply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like, if you're thinking far beyond what could happen and you're thinking like, man, if I'm obeying Christ, what could that change in my world and school? And then you just do it. Like, it's not like an instant process, right? It's not an instant like results, but over time you begin to lead your friends in a completely different way.
I got the 3-point sermon today. That was good.
Oh yes. I'm sorry. I should transition.
No, you're taking notes and praying over here.
I'm really having a moment.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. I just think what you're touching on is, yeah. Okay. So you say your identity should be in Jesus. And some people might even have seen that in the show notes and been like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll click on it. Yeah. I've heard about this, but it does really get so deep because identity is all that you are.
And
so
Carrie,
when you're
just
talking
said,
about that,
you just said something in passing that was so profound. We could do a whole episode on, but you said it's hard to lead people.
Dude, that's
well
what I was thinking about.
when you need them
so deeply.
And you need their approval. Yeah. That hits at such a root level.
Yeah, that's actually what I was pondering on. I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
That's deep. Anyway, that's something to unpack in the overtime.
We'll unpack that in overtime.
Carrie, before we get out of here, anything else you would want to say or encourage a student with? Anything else that you wanted to make sure? We just want to make sure we give you time for everything you want to say. So anything else you would add to a student or any encouragement for those that are working through those identity issues as they're doing it in real time?
Yeah, I would just say keep going. Man, I remember being in high school, and it's like a while ago now, but like I remember being so obsessed with like having all the best grades, getting in the right school, playing all the right sports, being in every, I mean, I was in everything. And like people called me a leader, and I really felt like it was because of everything I was doing. And the truth was, like, then I had to keep up with that.
Yeah.
And it followed me into ministry. It followed me into marriage. Like, it's really only in the last couple of years that I'm like trying to unpack this in a way that's like, my identity is like, I'm God's daughter.
Yeah.
And there's something so special about that. And so like, it's never too late to figure it out. But I would say like, man, if you can get it now, like as a student leader, if you can understand now that you, like God loves you on because Jesus died for you, not because you can get straight A's or make the soccer team. Like if you get that now and you live out of that identity, it's going to give you so much more fruit, and it's going to give you, you're just going to lead better and go further than anyone that came before you. And because it's him doing it, right? Like you're his masterpiece so that you can do the good works he planned for you. And so, man, you got purpose and like, he's giving you the skill, but he wants you to know him and find your identity in him. And so run after him with everything that you got, and don't get discouraged if you don't see results right away. Like it is making a difference long
Amen.
Haul. So.
Amen. So let's go.
Awesome.
Let's go. Carrie, thank you so much for your time.
Crushed
students,
it.
If you want to reach out to Carrie, we're going to drop her stuff in the show notes. Make sure to hit her up and tell her thank you. Or if you have any questions, I'm sure she's happy to answer those. Hey, that's all we got for today's episode, but we do get Carrie for a second one. So tune back in the next couple weeks. We'll drop another pod with her on it. Students, we believe you're called to lead your generation. Do it with passion for Christ and love for others. And we'll see you on the next one. Thanks so much.